the top players and legends to the very best analysts around the world from wherever the beautiful game is played. This is BTP. Now, we're talking football.
Yes, hello folks, welcome to Beyond the Pitch and part of the weekly Manchester United podcast. This weekend it will be a long one. Of course, I'll be doing one with Martin Warwick as well, my regular co-host. But I am delighted to be joined here with Mark Oldbridge from the United Stand. I doubt there's anyone on Twitter who's a United fan who doesn't know who Mark is. I am delighted to have him on here. Mark, I really appreciate you joining me, mate, to talk about Manchester United, the United Stand, and some things that pertain personally to you. How you doing, pal?
Really good, Phil. And I've only been doing the United Stand for about 3 years, but I've always known about you. So, you know, whilst it's great to be invited, it's a real pleasure. I feel like, you know, this is a big achievement, even though, you know, you might not think it yourself. So I'm really pleased to be on.
No, seriously, I'm incredibly honoured that you see it that way because, look, I think as United fans, there is a family, but unfortunately, social media has amplified some of the worst voices and both you and I and many other people have been on the receiving end of some of the ugliest side of that, and we'll get into that shortly. But let's talk about all the positive, because you say you've been doing United Stand 3 years, and I mean this sincerely. When I look at other videos, I look at lots of people who are doing their own stuff. I think that you may be the most aesthetically pleasing podcast or vlogcast or whatever videocast. I have tremendous admiration for your graphics and everything that you use. Why did you do the United Stand? What fueled it? What started it for you?
I think for me is that just to be blunt, really, it started with a real passion to try and get fans' voices. I mean, I'm sure you're the same. You're down the pub. Mm-hmm. I mean, even going back to being a kid at school, the conversations you have on the school bus or you have in a few years later in the pub or even after the match or whatever are very different to what you get from, say, you know, the TV or the newspapers. You know, and I grew up with that over 30 years of that same sort of message, which to me always felt very watered down. Mm-hmm. And what you get from fans is you get the passion and you get the real conversation. So that was always the vision with United Stand, was to make it about the fans. And, you know, we've expanded that over the years with the call-ins and that. But at the start, with not really much technical knowledge, it was just really about having three or four people talking about United. So that's the vision, really.
Well, you know, the core is always where the success is. The core is a couple of people talking about Manchester United. Everything else can look great, but if that's not done right, then nothing else matters. You love the football club, obviously, and everybody has their own views on how you should support this football club, and everybody thinks that they're right. Tell me a little bit about you and Manchester United, because you've received some criticism in the past on how you support Manchester United. Do you go to the ground, or do you prefer to watch the game at home? What's your involvement with Manchester United?
So initially, I grew up as an 80s kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, no Premier League, very little on the TV. So my relationship with Manchester United basically started off VHS videos with my granddad, who's, mm-hmm. you know, sadly no longer around, but was just obsessed with the Busby Babes, really, and especially Duncan Edwards. And not because of the tragedy, because obviously that defined them, but because of what Sir Matt Busby did with that team, a really young, exciting team brought in from around the country. They weren't all from Manchester, that really captured a lot of people's imagination. So my granddad's relationship with United started there. My mum's continued with her obsession with George Best. So Manchester United was always a part of my family growing up, but it was all about videos because that's what you had in the 80s and very little watching Manchester United. So that then probably over the previous, well, certainly with the United Stand, I haven't been to United hardly at all because we do like a lot of things around match day. So that was always the sacrifice with that. And then I would say probably in the previous 15 years before that, probably a handful of games a season. I mean, I haven't always lived in England. Funnily enough, I lived in Ireland for about 3 years as well, which is no excuse because so many Irish people do go and watch. But yeah, so, you know, I've got a tremendous amount of respect for the away fans who go and watch the games. And, you know, I know they get called top reds. I personally don't think anybody is a top red. I think everybody has got an opinion on United, and funnily enough, that's what you said to me the other day, and I think that's right. We've got a massive fan base, and everyone's got a different relationship with the club, and I don't think that should be something that is criticised. And again, that is another sort of motto of the United stand: every voice matters.
You've taken a lot of abuse in the past. It's and 99.999% of it is absolutely disgraceful. It's some of it. I do wonder what goes on in some people's heads who take this far, far too serious. One of the things that's been levelled, and you don't have to answer this, of course, but you know, obviously, Nottingham Forest. Do you want to take an opportunity to address that?
Yeah, not a problem. I mean, to be honest with you, I wrote an article on the United Stand website that's still there now about this probably 2.5 years ago. And the reason this started, to be honest with you, the rumour started on a guess. I mean, I know who started it, and I'm not in for that. I'm sure I know them starting it obviously caused me a lot of problems. I'm not going to go after other vloggers or websites. That's just not my style. But it was put out on there because I'm obviously from Nottingham. So it started off as always a Forest fan. There was nothing to it. There was no truth behind that. It was just an allegation, but I took it as an opportunity to say, well, you know, actually I do have a little bit of a history with Manchester United. My parents broke up when I was about 6 years of age. My dad's a Chelsea fan, my mum's a United fan, and on a Saturday my dad had picked me and my sister up and dropped my sister off at my grandparents and take me up to the Forest because it was just down the road. Mm-hmm. And as a young kid, the opportunity to come watch football, you're not going to go,
of course,
you know, so I did. So I got to see Forest quite a lot, and you know, I think the last game I went to as a Forest game was probably 10 years of age, and I've never been back since. So I'm quite honest about that. And as I said at the start, the 80s was a different world. I think if you're doing that now, it's probably a little bit different because you can access a lot of United games, but I certainly couldn't then. But my first game at United was a Forest United quarterfinal. It was the tie before Hillsborough. It was around my birthday, so I said to my dad, oh, come on, can you please take me up? And Forrest actually won. I was very disappointed on the way back, but he said, I'll tell you what, I'll take you to the semi-final if you want to go. And I was like, well, yeah, I don't like Liverpool, so anybody can beat Liverpool. But so yeah, that's that is the truth behind it. So you're always going to get people say, oh, you're a Forest fan because of that. But are we really judging people because they went to watch a team, you know, when they were a kid? It's ridiculous. But you know, I've got broad shoulders for that sort of thing. But that's where it's from, Phil. Yeah.
I went. I was in Anfield twice before I was ever inside Old Trafford, unfortunately. So I was taken over there as a kid as part of some football exhibition. We used to play the World every year. So I'd been in Anfield a number of times before I was ever set foot inside Old Trafford. So I feel like, unfortunately, with social media, you never get ahead of this, and you're always trying to explain it. And because you're constantly being asked, but you're being asked by people who have no intention of ever arriving at truth. You've been doing this for 3 years. How has United Stand evolved in 3 years from what you first were doing it, what your first vision was, to how it is now? How has it evolved over the 3 years?
I think the one thing I would say is, you're right, evolution, change is consistent. I mean, we started it off as a weekly show on a Sunday, 8 o'clock, probably about 50 people watching. And there was a set of us, there was me, Kev, Rich and Martin, none of which are involved now. And that's the thing that happens. You know, some people come and go, and it is just, you know, for me, it's always been as the sort of the host of it. It's just that, you know, it's not a job to me, it's a passion, and it's grown now where we are putting out content every day. The difference in it, I suppose, you mentioned the graphics. We've had he goes by the name of the Draughty Devil because he'd kill me if I gave his name, but yeah. I mean, that was a game changer as well, with somebody to come in and do the graphics side of things, which has never really been done on a YouTube football channel before. And then we've, you know, in the last year we've brought Flex in, who's doing the fan cams at the games, which was something I was always really opposed to because obviously other channels do it, but they convinced me, and I think they're doing a really good job there. It's, for me, it's always about being different. I don't like looking at other channels, of which some of them are good, and going, oh, let's do that. I always want to do things a little bit different, and I think we are still achieving that, even though fan cams have been done before. I think we do them in a different way. So yeah, it's evolution, definitely, and trying to do something different. I see some people trying to put in really good content out there, but I think that's pretty much what Sky or BT are doing. I don't want to be on Sky or BT. That's not my ambition. So that, and there's a vast amount of things you can do that they would never do. So I suppose that's the thought. I think we're a bit of a, I want us to be a bit of an evolution from fanzines. And I know some fanzines that hate that because they're very localized, but I do want to be able to say what I think. And I've seen you saying stuff about Mourinho and the Pogba situation. And I find it refreshing when somebody with a big voice actually has the balls to say, I don't think that's right. And I think that's what United Stand should be.
Yeah, you have to have bravery to give your opinion regardless of the reaction. And one of the things that I've learned how to do on Twitter is tweet, put the phone down and walk away so that I don't look at the mentions because it's usually 70-80% negative. And but I want to talk to you about the United Stand because you made it, you made some decisions early on that I don't know if you would revisit and change. One of them being, of course, and thankfully this is pre-recorded, so we can take it out if you'd really rather not talk about it, but you used the alias Mark Oldbridge. Why did you use an alias?
Yeah, so, I mean, again, I'm not going to hide behind this. It's something that's sort of blown up in the last few weeks. I mean, there's quite a credible journalist. I don't know whether you saw it, and obviously I won't name them because it's, you know, people will know who it is, and I don't want to put that on your podcast if you don't want it on there. But, you know, they literally tweeted out just opinion, you know, like, oh, he's hiding behind this name because he's a Forest fan and he wants to make money off it. The reality is, I started the United Stand, like I say, with probably a weekly show with 50 people watching. That's not a career change. That is just a total and utter, this, I'm doing this because I want to do it. So my job at the time were like, you have to disclose that sort of thing. So I was like, I'm going to do it. And they were like, okay, you cannot use your real name because that will expose you to things and we don't want you to do that. So I was like, oh, okay. Went off to my mate, my best man, and we went, right, let's come up with a name. And it, and it's got to be something that's, you know, believable, but not believable, if you know what I mean. I don't think there is such name as a Goldbridge. I don't think that surname actually exists. So I was always quite surprised that it took people about 8 months to sort of out it. But it was always going to be found because it wasn't that hard to be found out. And as soon as it was, I did a video and said, look, no, you know, because obviously people always jump on the mistakes. They're not bothered about the truth. And I'm always a firm believer that if something comes out like that, I just did a video straight away and went, look, apologies, this is why I did it. And I'm going to continue to use the name because actually it's what the channel started on. And to me, it's nice to have that separation. It's a bit, I suppose, a bit of a shield, really.
What is your relationship like with other United websites, other United fanzines? Do you, is it mixed? Is it negative, positive? How are you received by these people?
I would say that probably, I'm trying to think, in the main, it's not good. And that is a shame. Look, I will always, you know, you talk about when you first come on the scene. When I first came on the scene, I was like, I'm not bothered about ruffling feathers. I am going to get in people's faces. And I grew up, you know, teenage years around the time of Oasis, around the time of TGI Friday, around the time of you know, anything's possible. And maybe you do need to sort of get your voice out there a little bit. But I found out very quickly that that sort of world behind fan channels wasn't necessarily fan channels. They were run by media companies and things like that. And they didn't want that. They wanted the status quo. They wanted you to respect them and earn your stripes with them. And I didn't agree with that. I was like, well, no, that's not what we're trying to do. And I think, you know, maybe with the experiences I now have in the industry, I probably wouldn't have gone in as hard and sort of in faces as I did. But then again, I still think, well, actually, has it done us any harm doing that? I just think if you are something new, some people feel threatened by it. They want to crush it. I don't actually have a problem with that. You know, in, you know, business is the same, isn't it? But it's certainly not does us any harm. It's not something that I really, really am happy about. But it is what it is. And I think a lot of them, it just comes down to they want to believe the lies. They want to believe that we aren't what we are because it's easier than accepting that actually we are something that came in and sort of revitalised it, I think. I think the United Stand's been a really good positive within that arena. I mean, I look at some of these websites and these channels, and they've definitely taken a leaf out of our book from what they were before.
Why do you think they single you out?
It's a good question, because we've had people on the shows in the past and regulars, and I've heard people say, oh, they're all right, but that Goldbridge is this, is that. And I think maybe it's just because I'm the host. Maybe it's because I'm the most vocal. But everyone's got to have a fall guy, and I'm certainly not going to cry about that. That's fine. You know, going back to, you know, TGI Friday, Chris Evans or Piers Morgan or someone like that. I mean, they're not necessarily people I like, but they get a lot of stick for what they do. And I accept that. That's fine. I just agree with you. And like I saw yourself a couple of months ago, when you put something out there and people go in on your personal circumstances, sure, that's not okay. But opinion about what somebody's opinions are and calling them a bit of a, you know, idiot, yes, or whatever, I haven't got a problem with that.
Well, we'll get to that in a bit, because I definitely want to cover that. This is such an important aspect of this, and it's part of the reason why I asked you to come on. You get singled out more than anyone I know, and I really don't understand why. But let me ask you this, Mark, because when I watch your stuff, and I do catch quite a bit of it, I often find myself laughing hysterically at it. And I don't know if that's deliberate on your part or not, whether you deliberately inject humor in this, because if you do, it's borderline genius. Are you creating content with authenticity, with some content? And what I mean by that is, are you creating that with a deliberate attempt at humor? I mean, we saw some of the videos over the summer. I'm sorry, I they were hilarious. And I'm watching this from afar, and I'm like, I admire him, because it takes a lot of talent to do that on the spot, to create something funny. Are you deliberately injecting humor when you're doing the pineapple thing on the beach, which was hilarious? Is that deliberate, or is that just off a cuff?
The pineapple one does annoy me a lot, because that was somebody with a knife in my face. That was genuine, like, I can't believe this is happening. And I've had articles written about that, saying I paid somebody to do it. And it's like, I actually saw somebody later that night. It was a United Stand fan who stopped me with my little boy and said, I saw your video this morning. You know, he got locked up. He was doing it to everyone. So that was just absolutely, that happened. I was live streaming on my phone on a beach, and he tries to give me some pineapple, and that happened. I mean, look, what I would say is that we've been doing it for 3 years, and if you go back throughout it, we've done transfer shows where there's me in the background washing the windows and stuff. So look, injecting a bit of humour probably is the people who behind the United Stand and me, I like to inject humour into life, because, sure, we've all had bad things in life, and I think that football and banter, they go together. They do go together. So if I can make people laugh, then that's great. But I could never be the sort of person that sits there and goes, oh, I'm going to inject this line, I'm going to do that, I'm going to go down this road because it's going to be funny. It is probably just me, and that's what I'm like. Certainly the reactions to goals and stuff, I mean, look, that's just me as well. I mean, I'm the same playing FIFA, but I've got a lot of, you know, you've got to say, when Matic scored the screamer, I didn't really react that well. When Rooney broke the record, you know, I barely did anything. When Fellaini scored the winner against Arsenal in April, I was like, told you so. So, you know, on one hand, people say you overreact on goals, but then there's videos out of me there where people are going, oh, he's not a real fan, he's not even reacting. Mm. So I just go with the mood, but I am somebody who does like to have a little bit of a laugh and bring a bit of humour into it. And I suppose that's, you know, just who I am. But obviously, with what you said, with stuff going up over the summer, I think people have become new to the United Stand, and they're like, this can't be real. And I empathize with that. But if they looked back over 3 years, we've been doing it for 3 years.
The Henry VIII comment, the funniest things I've seen in a long, long time. And I just...
What was that, that one?
The Henry VIII comment, where Mourinho is... whenever you said he's actually a nice guy, but like Henry VIII, okay, cut a few of his wife's heads off. Not a nice thing to do, but...
Yeah, anyway, I remember that.
Nonetheless, look, in all seriousness, though, you you have a mix of humor, you have a mix of course legitimate commentary, and it takes a lot of bravery to put a camera in your face at moments that are emotional, because there are, even whenever I have access to Twitter and I look at my own tweets in the heat of the moment immediately after a game, there are times when I cringe at myself where I'm like, I really wish I hadn't have said that. I really wish I hadn't have put that out, because the internet never forgets. But you can delete a tweet, but videos last forever. Is there anything out there that you wish you had it done differently?
There's probably loads, Phil. There's probably loads. I mean, I have started saying now that, look, my match reactions, please realize in 24 hours I'm not going to feel like this. Right. It really is like I'm going live after games and reacting and saying things, because that's what humans do. And I think that's something about the channel I'm quite passionate about as well, is that, you know, I wouldn't want to stop doing that because it's real. But also, like you say there, you do things in the heat of the moment because you are reacting to it. And maybe you haven't got the full story. Sometimes you react to a game and then Mourinho comes out and says, this happened because of this. And you're like, oh God, I've just gone mad about it and really gone in on him. So, I mean, off the top of my head, there's probably too many to mention that I think, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. But I suppose that's part of the authenticity of it, isn't it?
Yeah, we all have that. We all have moments where we wish we could change things. But so you've been doing this for 3 years. What do you want to do with United Stan? Where do you want it to go?
Honestly, I don't want to be doing it for ever. I don't. And I know you always get people in the live comments go, oh, don't go, Mark. The show's not the same without you. And, you know, I could keep saying that because it's an ego thing. Oh, I just need my... But it's true. I don't really want to do it forever. I want to do the United Stand forever, but I don't want to be doing shows constantly all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm really passionate about it, and I want it to be, you know, I want it to be like, you know, some of the fanzines out there that have been around for 20 odd years, and I want it to be like that in some shape or form. But I want to get people involved, because a lot of people who are involved in the channel now mm-hmm. started out as just a Skype caller, and they go on to be really involved in the show. So I'm a firm believer that somewhere out there, there's somebody better than me at doing it. I mean, there definitely is. That sounds really egotistical. But there definitely is people who are better than me at it. And one day I think we're going to find them, and I'm going to go, look, start doing some shows, start presenting, start hosting. And that's what I want to happen. I think that's the evolution I'd want to happen, because I don't want to keep doing it for ages as much as I do now, as much as I enjoy it. But that's what I want to see. I want to get more people involved. And I want to see... some people coming in and doing more of the shows, really, and giving different perspectives.
The dark side of this, of course, as you grow, you get more adulation, but you also get much more criticism, you get much more jealousy, you get a lot of people coming at you. You almost, I think if I remember correctly, you considered walking away last season. I think it was at the beginning of last season, where you were talking about... this wasn't for you anymore, and I can certainly empathize with that. I've been there myself numerous times. How close were you to walking away, and why did you not?
I think if it's the one I'm thinking about, it probably is coming up for about 2 years ago now. I think it was around the time that maybe my name was put out there, and I was just getting a little bit. There was so much from the Manchester United community, and although it's only a drop in the ocean compared to the bigger support, it just seemed to be relentless, trying to undermine what we were doing. And like I say, while I understand that, because it's business and, you know, people, you know, are competing against each other, I just think when you delve into personal stuff, I mean, I had something with an Arsenal fan channel the other day where it was a bit of banter, and then it's like suddenly becomes personal. I'm like, look, anyone can do banter, but why are we going personal? Right. And I was just like, you know, at what point is this affecting my personal life or around my kids, around my wife and family? Because I put a lot into it, and you can compartmentalize that. But then when it's like adding stress to your life, and I must admit, I think I was getting too involved in social media as well. Like, Twitter, like you say, you should just tweet, interact with the people who are good, and get out. If you start interacting with the bad people, it messes with your mind. So I took about 3 weeks out, and in that 3 weeks, people stepped up and sort of took over the channel. And yeah, the views and everything dropped, but there was a lot of positivity around it. And then it was actually the graphics guy was like, why don't you just go back and do a show? And I went back and I was like, I really, really enjoyed that. And people really responded to it. And I was like, right, let, you know, ultimately you can't let these people win. Let's give it 6 months. And then I never really looked back after that.
Yeah, regardless, you can never let them chase you away. It empowers them. And then all of a sudden, it turns into other people being bullied as well. So I if you ever leave, that's up to yourself, but I'm glad that you didn't leave on those terms. You bring up a very important point that people often miss. First of all, to do these shows takes incredible effort, but you have a family, and the impact on your family, I know this from if I know this personally, I also have a wife and three children, and the impact on them is something that's entirely invisible to most people other than myself. Are you concerned about the impact on your family, not just with the commitment of doing the shows, but if they ever read some of the stuff that's directed your way on social media, does that concern you?
It does in relation to my kids, because sure. Kids are obviously vulnerable and impressionable and don't understand the ways, many kids don't understand the working ways of the world. And if someone's saying that about their dad, then they're going to, you know, they're not going to like that. To be fair, I do sort of integrate them to it. I mean, I remember picking them up from school the other day, and I said, oh, I've had a bad day today. Lots of people are having a go at me on Twitter. And they're quite, you know, they've been brought up to be quite, you know, personable kids. And they're just sort of like, oh, you know, people are like that. Not everyone's going to like you, which is quite a profound comment to make, really. Right. But yeah, I mean, look, when they're old enough to be on social media and they start searching that sort of stuff, I mean, it's not great. But it is something that you carry, isn't it, Phil? It is, because yeah. You know, you can put your own barriers up. And somebody said to me the other day, what would your advice be for dealing with this sort of thing and doing it as a YouTube channel? And I said, look, if you are somebody who is impacted by people saying bad things about you, don't do this.
Yes.
And I never like saying to people, don't do things. But if you know, I don't want to go down this road of mental health and things like that, but some people do bad things to themselves because they can't deal with things like this. You know, some people do it for a lot of reasons, but I would advise anybody who is, you know, impacted by people saying bad things about them not to do something like this. I think you've got to be a certain sort of personality, and you've also got to take into account the wider people around you, because they could be impacted by it as well.
Well, I think, Mark, it is important to draw the parallel with mental health, because there's zero, it's completely irrefutable that social media impacts you, me, and anyone else that's exposed to that. And if you have a decent following count, it's just inevitable that people are going to resent your status. They're going to resent the power of your voice. And it usually results, due to the anonymity that Twitter provides, in some utterly heinous allegations. And the more that obviously they're trying to provoke a reaction, so they make sure the criticisms or the allegations are as particularly heinous. And there is a certain sensitivity to the word nonce. I think it is such a disgusting thing to allege to anyone. It's probably the worst allegation you can make against a human being. And at the end of the day, we're human beings on the other end reading this. And yes, whilst certainly you can ignore a lot of it, you're still human. And it still affects you. And it still plays on your mind. And it still hurts. And it still troubles you. And I think I commend you in how you deal with it, but surely at times this has to get to you personally.
I think it did until I understood that they do it. It's like idiot. You know, it's just a word that everybody uses. Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody, but a lot of these people use, without any understanding of the connotations of it.
Right.
If I, my understanding of that word, nonce, is that if somebody shouted nonce at somebody across the road, I would look at that person and immediately presume that they're a paedophile.
Correct.
Now, because that's my interpretation of it. On Twitter, it's basically calling somebody an idiot, mm-hmm. for a lot of them. But it definitely, you know, I don't think Twitter's great at dealing with this sort of thing at all. There are ways that you can report people and have them suspended, but there are, you know, that word they're not bothered about. But as you say, that word can really, really, really impact on people. Now, to me, I don't like the word. I don't like the connotations of it. But there's absolutely no way that that can be leveled at yourself, at me, because these people don't know us. Right. So to me, it's like, well, you know, I'd love to be face to face with you when you say it, because we'd have a conversation. But actually, you could be anyone from anywhere around the world who is just doing it for retweets and likes and building up your social profile, and you've got absolutely no grasp of what you're saying, why you're saying it, and the damage it can cause. And the reason I put tweets out about bullying, and I get loads of people replying saying, hang in there, Mark, I hope you're all right. And I reply to them normally on a DM and say, look, don't worry. They're going to have to build the mountain for me to jump off it. I'm nowhere near that. But I put tweets out about bullying because I'm passionate about it. And there are people who are probably out there getting called that who do really, really have a hard time with it. And they're the people I'm worried about, because that it is unacceptable in that sense.
Oh, I can tell you from personal experience, having been a particular lows in my life and being exposed to that, people, depending on timing, can be very close to their tipping point, and you just don't know the impact you have on people when you're saying things. And look, I've been guilty of saying things on social media that I really wish I hadn't have said, and I am embarrassed about. But I vet myself before I say something. And I don't care if someone disagrees with me in terms of my football opinion, that's fine. But people need to remember, this is just football. It's not that important. It's not important to where you need to absolutely eviscerate somebody. And, you know, you were quite well known on social media. You certainly, I would say most United fans would know who you are. That is a concern, Mark, because let's say you wanted to go to United game with your family. I would hazard a guess that you get recognized. And the reaction isn't always positive. Does that concern you about the social impact on you and your family that... you know, I asked you earlier in the show if you go to games, but it could end up being quite a negative experience if you were to go to any games, because you know how fans are in mobs where they want to show off. And does that concern you at all?
Funny enough, I think there was, it sort of fits in with the previous comment as well. There was a game, the last game, Burnley, and I saw a clip of one of the away buses for United, and they were chanting I can't remember the song. But basically it was Goldbridge is a pedo, and they were just chanting it, and then they were going nonce, nonce, nonce. Well, this isn't 15-year-old kids on Twitter hiding behind a keyboard. This is United away fans on hardcore top red fans who I've got a lot of respect for, because they're going around the country watching United, and they're chanting that. And you think, well, that's not lost in translation. Right. To them, it might be banter, but that's like them on a video going around social media, and you're like, now that is like, again, I'm like, well, they're the problem, and I'm not going to let them stop me doing what I'm doing. But that is like, it is a concern. I mean, I certainly, to answer the question, no, I wouldn't be taking, and my daughter's, you know, she plays football. She's desperate to go to Manchester United and watch them play. And I don't think there's really an opportunity for me to do that, because you've got to put the safety of your family first. I mean, that's always something that gets thrown at me, or you don't go to games. But you know, I've had loads of threats. So if I see you here, there, you know, and not obviously a load of it, I'm not interested in, I'm not intimidated about. But you never know. You never know.
That it only takes one, Mark. It only takes one to follow through on a threat like that. That's all it takes. And when you're bringing your family into it, you don't want to assume that that's an empty threat, because anything can happen, and it's an absolutely disgraceful situation that your children cannot go to a Manchester United game without a potential of facing that type of abuse or listening to that type of stuff being directed at their father. That honestly is opprobrious to me. I can't believe that a grown man would actually do that, knowing that if they were on the receiving end. Anyway, it's just something that I have enormous empathy with you for, and I've said to you before that I think that United fans, regardless of what it is you're saying, should be allowed to operate in their own space, to say what they want, to have their views on the club. And look, if all the United fans want to interact with you on your views and challenge you on your United views, that's fine. But don't be lowering yourself to criticising someone personally with disgraceful allegations just to look they look like the big man in front of your friends. And so, like, I think you do a fantastic job of disarming people and making sure your message still gets across. I don't always agree with everything that you say, Mark. I don't always agree with everything that I say myself. The voices in my head argue with myself. So, but nonetheless, I respect the fact that you have as much right to speak on these topics as anybody else. And so it's good to see that they haven't chased you off, that you still have stayed prevalent in that space, because that really is the best way you can punch back, is to go nowhere.
I think as well, I mean, the one thing that you probably have and I have as well is that you can say something a week ago and in a week you say something else, yeah, and then you're a hypocrite, right, because they'll throw two tweets together. I've never said I'm not going to change my mind.
Of course.
I think everything in life you change your opinion on. You make a decision on the facts in front of you, and then a week later, I mean, Mourinho's prime example. I backed Mourinho for 2 years. Yeah. I saw that Brighton game. I was like, what are the tactics? He's gone back to what he did against Sevilla. I think he needs to go. Then against Burnley and Spurs, he does something completely different, which I've been wanting him to do. And I'm like, you know what? I'll give him another chance. That's not being a hypocrite. That's about evidence being presented to you that wasn't there a week ago. And that's why you change your mind. And I think sometimes, again, that's a rod that people get hit with. I've seen you get hit with it as well. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with changing your mind. Of course, you don't want to be like an Arsenal fan, yeah, Wenger in, Wenger out every 10 minutes. But I think, obviously, football's all about opinion, and those opinions will change based on the facts that you see in front of you.
Of course, the variables change all the time. At one time, I believed I was going to be Batman, and when I was about 7 years of age. And guess what? My views evolved because I realised that that wasn't the case. And with Mourinho, similar to myself in that I supported him for the first two years, until evidence presents itself to me that he's not the guy to lead this football club. Same with Luke Shaw. I said in the piece last week that Paul Pogba can make you look really silly because he can seduce you with his talent, and his inconsistency a week later can make him look like the opposite of the player that you lauded last week. So yes, football opinions, you can't be anchored to any particular position and refuse to change it based on evidence. That's ridiculous. I mean, and context is everything. So pulling up a tweet from weeks before and comparing it to what you're doing now is ridiculous, especially when the people calling you out on it have done exactly the same thing. I've just learned to ignore most of it. And unfortunately, with social media, I really don't read my mentions anymore because I've noticed the negative effect it has on me. And to be fair, most people on Twitter are wonderful people. It's just a small minority. I want to ask you about United because I want to be respectful of your time, and I'm incredibly grateful for you doing this. It's been an indifferent start this season for United. Of course, a couple of wins, a couple of losses. The losses have looked bad. What's your take on how United have started the season?
It's a difficult one because I think I'm willing, like I said, to give the team and Mourinho this opportunity, which is Watford and Wolves. And obviously, then I think we've got West Ham and Newcastle. I think they need to take at least 10 points, hopefully 12 from that. And then momentum, and we can maybe build something out of this season. I think you've got to look at the start of the season, the first four games, and it is bad. And I know Mourinho's engaging with the fans, which is great. And I know a lot of fans are backing Mourinho, which is great. And that is their right. But I do have to look at the facts, and I think that I hope Mourinho can keep playing good football. We against Burnley, against Spurs, we created a lot more chances than we ever do, and if that's the impact of people like Carrick and McKenna, and Mourinho opened his eyes to that, then hopefully we'll see more of that. I just fear that even if we were to win the next couple of games, when the big team comes along, is he going to have the confidence to do that, or are we going to see the bus coming out at Anfield and things like that? Ultimately, I don't think Mourinho is going to work at Manchester United. I think what I'd like to see happen is let's get top four, and maybe in the summer a decision can be made amicably where we thank Mourinho and the board thank him, and then we go in a different direction because he has progressed the club. Mm-hmm. My heart says I'd love it to just all change. We start playing great football. We do put a title challenge in and everything ends up good. But I think you've got a board that didn't back him. You've got Matt. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Pogba's trying to force himself out of the club, yeah, to me, as far as I can see. Yeah. You've got people like Martial, who's my favourite player, may as well be sweeping the roads. Phil Jones and Fellaini, who I don't think should be at the club. I mean, Fellaini, yeah, does try really hard, but and they keep reappearing in the starting 11. So there's a lot of things that are just not right at United. But for me, the football's always the main thing. And I think you can get away with a lot of things if you sort of keep to that ethos. But I'm definitely, you know, I like Mourinho. I just don't think he's going to be a right fit for Manchester United. But I hope I'm proved wrong.
I would agree with that. I don't think he will end up being what United are bringing the success that he was brought to bring. Last question. The protest, of course, last week from many United fans regarding Ed Woodward, a lot of United fans not happy with how he's running the football club. You support the fans in their view that Ed Woodward is a specialist in failure?
I think it's a double-barreled answer, because I think when you look at the whole period of the Glazers, of which Woodward's been involved in, obviously he stepped up to the plate when David Gill went, then, you know, the way the club's run isn't acceptable. You know, is Ed Woodward a Manchester United fan? I don't know. The Glazers, definitely not. They just bought it as a business. So I don't like the way the club's run, and I would agree with people who want to express their unhappiness around that. But if you want to take it in minute detail, then there is always a story that we don't know. And we've got people like Jerome Boateng talking about, I was honoured that Mourinho wanted me. Well, Boateng's 30 years of age. He's injury prone. He's not the sort of player that United should be going for. And if Ed Woodward would said to Mourinho, that's not what we're having, then I do agree with Ed Woodward. If Ed Woodward said, I want Martial to sign a new contract and Mourinho wants to sell him, I agree with Ed Woodward. So it's not always...
Yeah, but should he be overruling
right.
a manager though, Mark?
Well, again, brilliant point. Probably not, but...
You can agree with his opinion, but I'm not sure he should be telling Mourinho. I agree that United need to protect Martial's contract situation and not let him leave for free. I can understand the club saying to Mourinho, we have to be pragmatic here. But to turn around to Mourinho and say, you know what, apples to apples, my football opinion versus yours, we're not going to go for that player. Now, if Edward Burke turns around and says he's cost too much money, then that's fair enough. That's his remit. But I just don't think he should be overruling Mourinho on football decisions, even if I agree with the decisions that he's making.
No, you're spot on. You're absolutely spot on. And also, it goes back to what I said a couple of weeks ago, is that in that situation, it doesn't make any sense anyway, because you either back the manager or you sack him.
Right,
football's very
exactly.
simple, isn't it? And if you're not backing your manager, then why aren't you sacking your manager? So, you know, look, I ain't got a problem with fans wanting to express their issues against Woodward. But for me, the bottom line is that since Sir Alex Ferguson won a title, we've spent a lot of money, and I struggle to name more than two players that have been a success that we've signed. So, you know, we bought badly. And who's at fault for that? Is it the managers? Or as Woodward always said, you can have him, you can't have him. I don't have the answer to that.
Yeah, it's a first shout. I agree with that. There's 700 million spent and very little to show for it. Mark, keep up a great work with United Stand. Ignore the haters. Ignore the people that tweet at you. Ignore all of them. Don't give them the oxygen of even giving them a response, because it just fuels them. Ignore it. You don't owe an explanation to anybody about what you do. Just keep on doing what you're doing, keep on adding variety and a voice to the United fans. And look, judging by your subscription numbers and your followers and everything, you're doing an outstanding job, and you're a welcome voice to the party. And you've as much to contribute as anybody else. And I want to commend you for the fantastic job you've done with the United Stand, and for the courage you've shown in fighting back against some of these cards online. And I have nothing but respect for that. So I wish you all the best, Mark. Thanks very much, mate.
No worries. Cheers, Phil. And as I said at the start, it's been a real pleasure. It's something I've hoped for years that I would get asked on. So it's a real, real big achievement. Thanks for having us on.
Honoured. Thanks, Mark. All the best, mate.
Cheers.
Cheers.